Like any good cold weather scientific endeavor, this one starts with loading up a couple 100-pound propane tanks into a sled and then chasing them down a hill next to a creekside test site.
My name is Maggie Harrings, and I'm an environmental scientist for the Kenai Watershed Forum.
Harrings and her co-worker Alice Main do this once a week. The propane provides power for the monitoring equipment they have set up next to Crooked Creek, just a stone's throw away from the Sterling Highway. They're monitoring fish passage through this little section of creek with a pair of antennas situated in the water.
So this is one of four sites that we have set up for pit tagging. And the idea behind this is that this fall we went out and we tagged 1,400 juvenile coho. Actually, 1,399. I lost a tag. But those little guys are theoretically in the stream still, swimming around with tags in them. When they move within a section, if they happen to swim through or rather by one of these stations, they're going to be picked up by one antenna and then the other. And each of them has essentially a code or a name associated with it. And then that gets, once they pass through an antenna, it gets registered with our reader that we'll show you here in a second. And then we do weekly data downloads.
Getting a handle on how many fish populate this section of river is important because it's clear some work needs to be done. A pair of small culverts under the highway has created a deep pool on one side of the road, making it more difficult for those coho and other resident species to make it upriver to spawning grounds. Alice Main runs the Watershed Forum Stream Watch program, but today she's working on that other duties as assigned part of the job description, like wrangling those propane tanks.
So if you go back over here and you look down from the highway or you pop out of your car and check out these twin culverts, you'll see that they're perched, meaning that the water flowing out of them looks like a waterfall. So that's what makes it difficult, especially for juvenile fish, to go upstream. That's part of the reason why you see that big pool, because the water's coming down and scoring out the bottom.
Plans are in the works to replace those culverts, and that provides an opportunity to get some data and learn a little something.
So what we wanted to do was look at fish passage before the replacement, during, and then after the replacement. And then through this study, we're also able to gain a little bit of insight into overwintering patterns and basically like where these fish are in certain sections of the stream.
And this is more than just a simple counting exercise like what you see daily out of Fish and Game for salmon counts in the summer. Because they're zeroed in on specific sections, they can infer a lot based on how many fish are spending time in that section.
So we might say, oh, we're finding a lot of fish, you know, let's say post-culvert replacement, we're finding a lot of fish upstream in this one stretch. Well, maybe we need to look into that further. What is so special about that stretch of river that is serving these fish so well?
And from there, a million other questions can pop up. But for now, establishing some baseline data is the focus to help give the fish a more clear path to where they need to go. Replacement of those culverts at this site is expected sometime next year. In Kenai, I'm Shaylin Cochran.